Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Happy Easter, everyone. We are in the glory of Eastertide. And as I was reflecting on it through Triduum in the last day or so, I get the sense that Easter 2024, Pascha 2024, unlike previous years that I can remember, was marked by unity, encouragement, and triumph. And I think part of that was some of what we saw on social media. We saw Tammy Peterson, Jordan Peterson's wife, come into the church. Hundreds, thousands. I was in contact with people all over the country, all over the world, as they were preparing to either be baptized on Holy Saturday, receive confirmation, former Protestants who became Catholics, people coming back to the church, you know, hearing stories from friends, people who had been away for 30 years making a confession. And I looked around on Holy Saturday at the people at the vigil, and then on Easter Sunday, I went back, and there was over 700 people, traditional Latin Mass, and I just looked around at all the families, the older people, the younger people, the new people, the people who have been there for a while, and I thought, you know, God is real. Christ is real. The resurrection is real. In 2024, there is a joyful Alleluia echoing in the church. And just seeing so many people come into the Catholic Church this year, and to go online to Facebook and to Instagram, Twitter, all these places, and even in the comments of this show, Taylor Marshall Podcast, and to see all the other Catholics encouraging them and saying, I'm praying for you, congratulations, welcome home, welcome to the family. I mean, it was really encouraging. I've seen it before, but this year seemed different. And there was one convert in particular that gained the attention of a lot of people. And I'm going to read her tweet because I think it's very powerful. And I think this reveals that we are in a moment of cultural degeneracy. We all know that. But the culture is in such a nosedive, a swan dive into degeneracy, that people are starting to hit the bottom and look up and say, what else is there? And the answer is, who is there? And that's Christ. So this is one of the converts who came into the church. I don't know her name. Oh, that's the wrong thing. Let me go back here. I don't know her name. Let me cue up the right thing here. Here we go. I don't know her name. Her name is Miss B Converted. And here it is on the screen. I'm just going to read her tweet. This is from, I think, earlier in Lent. Hopefully she doesn't mind. It's public. But she says, I recently traveled around Europe and spent a great deal of time in Rome and Assisi. In those two particular cities, I had what can only be described as a life-altering conversion. I've decided to quit sex work, prostitution, to repent of my innumerable sins, to give up my life of sin, wealth, vice, and vain self-obsession. This is a humbling experience and one that I know may be mocked or questioned by many. I'm giving up all my income and turning my life over to Christ. I'm leaving behind my life of rampant sin, vice, pride, debauchery, vanity, and lies to, with God's grace, live a life of truth, beauty, obedience to God's will, virtue, and humility. I've been going through RCIA since the autumn, and I will be officially joining the Catholic Church during the Easter Vigil in late March. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on such a wretched sinner. Thank you, Blessed Mary, Mother of God, for your immense love and consolation. Let's scroll up here just a little bit. God's forgiveness and mercy is real. If someone as broken and sinful as me can be redeemed and converted, there is no doubt anyone reading this can also be saved by his divine mercy. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Happy New Year to all, because this is back before New Year's. So, Miss B Converted, welcome. to redemption. Welcome to the family. Family of sinners redeemed by Christ. And if you like that conversion, let's go ahead and give the thumbs up, like, and share. This morning, Joy and I were just talking, drinking coffee, and she said, you know, I have this sense this year after Easter, there's going to be a lot more people who are going to be seeking. It seems that, you know, with the turn to every single form of sexual deviancy, the increase in the most powerful narcotics with trank and fentanyl and streamed pornography and every degeneracy all the way down now through even pedophilic degeneracy. And, you know, what we're seeing with like P. Diddy and Islands and all this stuff, it's like, where else can you go? Like, there's no, are there any harder drugs? Are there any more deviant behaviors left? And people are going to need redemption. We're going to have Mary Magdalene's. You know, we're going to hopefully have Constantine's. Powerful pagan men who repent and turn to Jesus Christ. So I think it's a moment. This year to me felt different. Leave a comment. I'm going to do some Q&A here in a little bit. Did it feel different to you? Something is going on this year. And I also noticed, and I think it might have had to do with the controversy about Christ as King, which ramped up sort of the week before Holy Week and then Palm Sunday and that whole week with the Candace Owens, Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, Andrew Klavan, the whole thing. There was this sort of, wait a second, Christ is King. There's nothing wrong with saying Christ the King. And it was a unifying moment for disciples of Jesus Christ. It fits with Palm Sunday. It fits with the crucifixion. And of course, Christ as King fits with the resurrection because he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He conquered sin and death. He redeemed us from our bondage of sin. And he is delivering us to the kingdom of his Father. It's a beautiful thing. Christ is King. So there's a lot of interesting things happening in culture. And I mentioned last year, in an interview with George Farmer, Candace Owens' husband, but also another podcast, you know, it seems that the influencer class, which is a new thing, it's only been around for less than 5 years. All right, I don't think Andrew Tate is a profound philosopher or religious studies guru, but, you know, he's taken a hard left turn into Islam. You know, Russell Brand is talking about Lent and praying the rosary, and should he be Catholic, and should he be baptized? Jordan Peterson's talking about Exodus. Again, you may not agree with their conclusions, but all of these things are bubbling up. Tucker Carlson just had Cardinal Mueller on his show, interviewing a Catholic cardinal about the state of the Catholic Church, the crisis, the papacy, all that. So everything is kind of pushing forward. And I was talking to a friend, David, today, and we were reflecting 20 years ago, there was sort of this kind of ecumenical friendliness, you know, Protestants and evangelicals and Catholics and Orthodox and Anglicans, kind of this C.S. Lewis think tank thing happening. And now, I don't think I'm just saying this because I converted to Catholicism, but now it seems that there's not this sort of mere Christianity C.S. Lewis think tank. It seems, especially on social media, you've got your Calvinists and your Baptists going hard against Catholics, and you got your Catholics going hard against Baptists, and your James Whites and your Taylor Marshall or whatever, and all this stuff is going on. And it's a little bit more abrasive, a little bit more friction. But I think what we're seeing is that people are being drawn to Catholicism. And I'll add in there, just to be fair, people are being drawn to Eastern Orthodoxy, particularly the Russian Orthodox flavor, Rokor, definitely migration and movement that way. And I think this somewhat signals that Protestant evangelicalism, since the death of like a Billy Graham, has been in decline. And even the Reformed Calvinist movements since the death of, say, R.C. Sproul have been in decline and decay. Now, across the Tiber over here, we've been dealing with Pope Francis Bergoglio for now over 10 years, and we've got our own debates, confusions, controversies over here. But the fundamental core, the catechism, the apostolic faith, the seven sacraments, the rosary, Marian devotion, the saints, the Holy Eucharist, Eucharistic adoration, the Mass, all of those things stand true, and people are being attracted to Catholic Christianity, to Catholicism. And so this is a moment, before we go to Q&A, this is a moment for Catholics to be kind, to be patient, and consider, you know, here is Miss B converted. I read her testimony earlier in the show. Oops, I just want to scroll. Miss B converted. To be patient, to be kind, because there's going to be people who are going to surprise you and say something like, I have decided to quit sex work and to repent of my innumerable sins. You know? They're coming. And we need to be hospitable, loving, friendly, honest, true. You know, the answer to this is not to say, oh, no, no. Jesus doesn't want you to change. Keep doing what you want to be. We're going to accompany you in the pits of you, in the despair of your sin. No, it's go and sin no more. Radical transformation. Prostitution to chastity. Murderer to penitent hermit. Like, these are the stories you read about in the early church, the medieval era. Radical conversion, radical repentance, radical penance. And we have to remember, God is almighty. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. He can do all things. That's not contrary to his nature. In philosophy, we make that distinction. So God cannot lie. And yet he has permitted this crisis in the Catholic Church right now, the blessing of certain couples and sex scandals and Cardinal McCarricks and St. Gallen mafias and contested papal elections and can a pope be a heretic debates. God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost could fix this immediately. He currently chooses not to, and as I pray about this and I think more about it, a lot of people say, well, we just deserve the popes and the bishops we deserve. True. But perhaps just as God allowed the people of Israel to descend into slavery in Egypt, perhaps God is preparing for a moment of truth, for a moment of mercy, for an exodus in excellence. Perhaps he is preparing the church through this suffering, through this crisis, a crisis that touches on human sexuality. Perhaps he's using it to prepare the church for an exodus or an explosion of great saints, a great renaissance. Could be the end. Antichrist could show up this year. But perhaps, and even if that were true, even if the Antichrist did show up this year, God would still be preparing the world for there to be great saints. Many mystics say that the saints and the martyrs of the last 3.5 years of human history will be greater, more magnanimous than the saints of the early church during the Roman persecutions. So, I'm going to go to Q&A. I want to hear from y'all. Do you think that Easter, Pascha 2024, felt different? as my young adult, my kid children say, it just hits different. The 2024 Easter hit different. I'm going to go to Q&A and hear your thoughts about that. And while you're at it, make sure you like the video, you subscribe, you share this video. As you know, YouTube is not going to promote a video about a dad in front of a webcam talking about Easter 2024 hitting different. So let's go to your thoughts. Was 2024 different? Michael John Dennis says, people are tired of feeling heartbreak. Well, I mean, we're in a valley of tears. Heartbreak will be experienced until Christ returns and wipes away every tear and makes all things new. I think, Michael, what I experience as an American, as a Texan, as a father, as a Catholic, the heartbreak is the betrayal of those who should have our best interests before them and yet seem to be selling us down the river. That's the hard part, especially when it comes to bishops. That's the heartbreak. But you know what? God is allowing it for a reason. Maria Santos says, Dr. Marshall, what do you think about these divine mercy messages in Texas? I think I've read all of them, and I haven't watched the most recent one, but I've watched them all. I mean, there's things I agree with in it, but I am not an apparition chaser. I stick to the apparitions that are approved. I study them. I read books about them. I make courses about them and videos about them, but only that which is approved, because there's so much in Fatima, so much in Guadalupe, so much in La Salette. It's taking me a decade to just begin to absorb and distill the teachings and the messages of Our Lady in those. I need to focus more on those. I can't start to rely and bank upon new ones in San Antonio or, you know, even newest ones such as Medjugorje that don't have full approval. So that's always been, people always ask me, I mean, that's one of the things people ask me all the time. What do you think about this apparition and this message and this message? And I think the safe, sober way is to just limit yourself to that which has been approved. And they're beautiful and they're good. All right, going into your comments here. All right, Dan Miller, my local town in London did a great walk of witness, and despite 5 Anglican churches to 1 Catholic church, there were more Catholics. Sadly, the Reformed Calvinist Church didn't participate. Yeah, I think what we're starting to see in the public eye is Catholic voices and authentic Catholic voices gaining a platform, gaining a voice, and the reason for that is, I mean, just take this podcast, Dr. Taylor Marshall Podcast. I tell you all the time, you have to go to confession. If you have a mortal sin and you don't go to confession, you're going to burn in hell forever. Hard words. Nobody wants to say it. Priests don't want to say it from the pulpit. But you know what? I don't want you to go to hell. So I say those things. Or I say, if you're discerning to be a Christian or you want to be a Catholic and you are not baptized validly in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you're going to go to hell. You need to be baptized. No one enters the kingdom of heaven except by water and spirit, John 3:5. So you must enter. You must obey Christ as he taught. Is it uncomfortable to say that? Do people get offended? Do people get hurt? Yes. But I would tell you that because I love you. The building's on fire. Go to your nearest exit. Well, I don't know how I feel about exits. Well, I'm telling you right now, there's 3 exits. Choose one and get out of the building. Right? But in the situation with salvation, there's only one exit. out of sin and hell, and that's Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. And then he also teaches in the four canonical gospels what it means to come to him. You come to him through holy baptism. You are strengthened by the Holy Ghost in the infusion of the Holy Spirit by confirmation. He says, take, eat, this is my body, this is my blood. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, so you must receive the Eucharist. If you commit mortal sins, sins against charity, you break your bond of charity with God, the love of God, you must confess your sins. Well, gee, Tyler, where's that in the Bible? John 20, verse 20. Jesus, as soon as he appears on Pascha, on Resurrection Easter Sunday, he breathes on the apostles, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you forgive are forgiven. Whosoever sins you loose are retained. Jesus taught that to the apostles and gave them that power as soon as he rose from the dead. Was it poetry? Was it a joke? No, it's for real. If you commit, well, I just want to confess straight to God. Okay, that's good. But Jesus also instituted something as soon as he rose from the dead so that other human men in his name could declare and absolve you of your sins. I think that's one reason why people watch this podcast is I just tell you straight facts. That's what the Bible said. This is what the Catholic Church says. This is what the Catechism says. I don't give you the, well, Jesus is the privileged way. He's business class. There's other ways, economy class. There's lesser lights, you know, follow your conscience. If you're Jewish, just be a good Jew. If you're Muslim, just be a good Muslim. There's a good chance you're going to make it. No, let's just do it the way Jesus did it. And because this message, I would call it authentic. Pope Francis might call it rigid Catholicism. It's sort of unleashed on the world. You know, a lot of priests are afraid to talk about hell and money and all these things. And then there's certain people who would just talk about it. And the internet, YouTube, podcast has made it possible for people to say, yeah, you know what? I don't want to go to hell. I need to go to confession, even though I haven't been in 30 years. I need to get baptized at Easter. If you're watching right now, and you're not baptized, you need to prepare to be baptized. Either get it done privately with the priest or speak to a Catholic, speak to a priest, and get enrolled so that you can get baptized next Easter. As you know, it's the ancient tradition of the church to receive converts and to baptize people at Easter, because it's the most fitting time, because Christ died and he rose again. And baptism, says Paul in Romans, is uniting us to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, more comments and questions. Do y'all think Easter 2024 hit different? What do you guys think? Oh, by the way, I do want to, speaking of Christ the Queen, Christ the King, I put out a video I think it was in Holy Week, on the Christ the King situation. That video had like 6,000 views in the first hour. It was blowing up. It was going strong. And then within that day, it was going, and it just boom, hit. That video was 100% throttled. I've seen funny things in my 10 years of podcasting. I'm 100% convinced that that Christ the King video I did, which had massive, massive views and massive response right out the gate, got throttled by the powers that be. So please like and subscribe. You are my algorithm. Maggie says, our church was packed this Easter. Yeah, I saw in London, Westminster, packed, outflowing into the streets. Are people returning to Christ the King? Here's a good question from Matthew. Does the renewal of baptism count if you have questions about your original baptism? No. You either have a valid baptism or you don't have a valid baptism. It's kind of like a marriage. Is it a valid marriage or an invalid marriage? If there is a concern that your baptism is invalid, for example, if the priest did not say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but he said something like, I baptize you in the name of God, or I baptize you in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, or we baptize you, or anything that was fuzzy or not the proper way, or you didn't get baptized with water, you got baptized with beer. That actually happened. There was a pope who had a decree that baptisms with beer were invalid. Facts, that really did happen. If you were not baptized, or the water did not hit your head when you got baptized, because water has to hit your head, you need to talk to a Catholic priest. And if there is real doubt over it, or there's no record of it, there's no witness to it, you can receive what's called a conditional baptism. A conditional baptism. Catholicism teaches to be baptized a second time is a sacrilege, a blasphemy, and a mortal sin, because there's only one baptism. You don't do it over and over. You don't do it every year. There's one baptism. So you can't get baptized a second time. But if there's doubt, you're not sure, the priest will do a conditional baptism, and it goes something like this. Say it's John. If you are not already baptized, John, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he adds the conditional phrase at the beginning. If you are not, I do so. And that was very common before Vatican II, especially with Protestant baptisms or baptisms coming from questionable denominations or sects that they weren't sure how they were baptizing or they were valid. They would do a conditional baptism. So Matthew, if you fall in that category, I would encourage you to get a conditional baptism. Just renewing baptismal vows does not replace a sacrament. Good question. And by the way, this is another thing I talk about, and people get all kind of like, you know, you're making, you know, people shouldn't have to be that worried about it whenever. And I talked about this once on the show, and I heard from a man, and he saw the Dr. Taylor Marshall podcast where I talked about valid versus invalid baptism. He goes, yeah, I think there's something wrong. And he found the VHS of him being baptized, and it was invalid. He showed it to one priest, and the priest goes, yeah, that's not valid. You're baptized. And then he was like, I'll show it to another priest. Showed it to a second priest, and the second priest said, yeah, that's your baptism. The priest didn't do it right, or the deacon. I think it was a deacon. The deacon didn't do it right. And so he had to get conditionally baptized. So this is a serious deal. Now, it's not like, you know, it can't be fixed. There's a very easy fix to it, and you should get it done. But yeah, this is serious stuff here. All right, more comments and questions here. All right, my sister was baptized in we baptized Trinitarian formula, but also Jesus' name. I might have been baptized that way too. Being baptized in Jesus' name alone is dubious. Thomas Aquinas discusses it. There's actually some debate on it, but you cannot be baptized. The Vatican has said if the deacon or priest says, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is invalid. There is no we baptism, because the minister of baptism stands in for Jesus Christ in persona Christi, and it's Christ who really baptized you. So it's a singular, I baptize you. And Jesus said, Matthew 28, go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say just go baptize them in the name of the Holy Spirit, or baptize them in the name of the Father, or baptize them in the name of the Son. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Let's just do what Jesus taught us to do. No more excuses, no more games, just do what Jesus taught us to do. All right, we got St. Creedmoor, 6'5", 6'5", Creedmoor. great caliber. Happy belated birthday, bro. Hope you get some range time in this week. Viva Cristo Rey. I will be getting in some range time next weekend, and I'll be celebrating my birthday next weekend. As some of y'all may know, my birthday this year fell on Good Friday. And so I did not celebrate my birthday, obvious, because you're not going to have a birthday party on Good Friday. And I'm just deferring birthday celebration to next weekend. So as, because it's Easter, it's all about Jesus. So thank you for the birthday wishes. I appreciate that, St. Creedmoor. And I'll think of you next time I get out the Creedmoor. All right, looking at your comments and your questions. Oh, another thing that I noticed this year, a lot of churches, traditional, of course, but even in the Novus Ordo world, a lot of churches for Palm Sunday, Maundy, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter, beautiful flowers, candles, altar appointments. I just noticed when people were posting photos of their local parish liturgies, there was a lot less felt banners and a lot more traditional beauty, the beauty of holiness. So this is another thing that gives me hope. It's a sign of triumph. It's a sign of unity that people are returning to tradition, returning to beautiful aesthetics. I know aesthetics don't save us. I know aesthetics aren't everything, but they are something. It indicates a devotion and a love for God and to make things beautiful. When someone that you love comes to your home, you make things beautiful. And we're starting to see that again. It's very encouraging. By the way, share this video right now if you're enjoying it. Oh, you know, another thing before I do the next comment and questions, I kind of started to sense that people who are like mega, mega liberal, right? A lot of those people are, I think, are kind of going to a Protestant mainline Presbyterian or mainline Episcopalian church where they literally have like the LGBTQRST, you know, on the billboard with the paraphernalia and with everything. I think we certainly have our own, you know, Jesuitical mind games in our own midst, but I kind of feel like maybe it's sifting out. Maybe I'm naive to think that, but it kind of feels like that a little bit. Mac P says, I have a friend who's a former Muslim thinking about converting to Catholicism. So most likely I will be a sponsor, God willing, helping him to get baptized next year. Yes, Mac P. I love that. In fact, I'm going to issue a challenge today. Challenge in April 2024. Dr. Taylor Marshall, too. How many people are watching right now? Over 1,600 people are watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter right now, and Instagram. I'm issuing a challenge to every single one of you to make it your goal to lead one person at least into the Catholic Church through prayer and instruction and example and be their godfather or godmother. So that this time next year, you are actively preparing someone for baptism as a godfather or as a godmother. How many of you will take that challenge? You invite someone from your family, from your workplace, from your neighborhood, your local environment, invite them to church, share the good news of Jesus with them, and say, would you like to be baptized? Would you like to come back and go to confession if they are Catholic? Would you like to receive confirmation, the fullness of Christian initiation in the Holy Spirit? All right, so of the 1,600 of you watching live right now, or if you're watching later, leave a comment below. Will you accept the challenge? Will you seek to lead one person this year? If every Catholic did that this year, the Catholic Church would double in 1 year. We could double the Catholic Church in 1 year if one of us just each brought one person. Roxy 8 says, I'm working on that, Dr. Marshall. Awesome. Philip Cummings says, I truly want my father to rejoin the church. Amen and amen. Mr. B says, I'll shake on that, Taylor. I'll shake you right there. Let's do it. Let's double our parish. Trying with all my relatives who are not Catholic. Yes. Hello says, My parents will not let me join the church. I have no access to any sacraments, and my baptism may have been invalid. I don't remember the form. My parents swore oneness, but the church was Trinitarian. Hello, I'm sorry to hear this. I think we should all pray for this person. We'll do that just in a minute shortly, but it depends on your age. There are many examples in the early church of saints going and getting baptized secretly. We must submit to our parents and honor our parents. Wives must submit to their husbands. Children must submit to their parents, but not when it is against your salvation or if it's in favor of sin. And so I don't know how old you are. Obviously, if you're 12, you can't drive anywhere. If you're 17, it's a different story. But I would also, regardless of your age, I would encourage you every morning, every evening, to pray for the graces to enter the church and to make acts of faith, hope, and charity, and make acts of contrition and repent of your sins and entrust yourself into the hands of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. He will not disappoint you. He will not leave you behind. He will make a way. He opened the Red Sea for Moses and the Israelites. They got out. The Pharaoh drowned. So don't give up. Don't despair. He has a way for you. And if you're old enough and you have the means, it's perfectly fine to be secretive or to pursue initiation, in particular baptism, because baptism is the gateway to all grace. All right, let's say a prayer for this person, this young person, who eagerly wants to be a member of the Catholic Church, but his or her parents will not allow them, and will ask Our Lady to intercede for her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, we'll be praying for you. That's tough. But there's a way. Just ask him. He'll open the way. Miss Behaven says, make a friend of St. Jude. That's right. When I was an Episcopalian priest, and when I didn't see a way to become Catholic and I wanted to be a Catholic, I prayed a novena to St. Jude. And on the ninth day of that novena, a novena is a nine-day prayer. On the ninth day of that novena, God opened a way for me to become Catholic. I've told that story before. I won't tell it now. So even when I didn't see a way, St. Jude is the patron of desperate cases. Even when I didn't see a way, I prayed 9 days through the intercession of St. Jude, and the way opened up. So yes, make a friend in St. Jude. Let's do another comment. Mary Bennett says, I baptized my babies before leaving the hospital at birth because afraid if they were killed on the way home. I then had the priest at church do a traditional baptism. Wasn't aware it was wrong. I hate to say it, Mary, and I'm always a straight shooter here. It was wrong. You're not supposed, unless the child is in danger of death, like has pneumonia, bleeding, can't breathe, you know, like it's an emergency and the child's dying. You can't baptize your child. That's wrong. So you didn't know. So I don't think this escalates to mortal sin levels, but I would confess it and just talk to a priest about it. He'd probably be the best one he is the best one to talk to about that, because if the baby's baptized two times validly, that's according to the catechisms and the moral teachings, it's a sacrilege, because the sacrament has been repeated, and we're not allowed to repeat the sacrament. Unless you told the priest, hey, I was nervous. I'm a new mom. I baptized my babies validly. And he says, well, how'd you baptize them? Well, I poured water three times over their head. As I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the priest would say, yeah, that's valid. I'll supply the rite, which is you do the liturgy of baptism, but you don't actually baptize the baby because the baby was already baptized at the hospital. If you're talking about that, Mary Bennett, then things worked out properly. But if the priest actually performed a second baptism after you validly baptized the infants, that's disordered, and that's not good. I'm sorry to tell you that, but I got to be a straight shooter. Thoughts on Cardinal Wilton Gregory calling Joe Biden a cafeteria Catholic? I saw that. To me, that just means that the left, and perhaps the left wing in the church, is kind of done with Joe Biden, and they know Joe Biden is done. Right? They've used up that puppet. And he can be disposed, which is very sad. It's elder abuse, but everything about it is just broken and disordered. Dawid Fatiga says, what do you think about the next pope? I don't know what to think about him because I don't know who he is. I don't know who he is, unless you're asking me, who do you think will be the next pope? And I'm under very strict instructions not to talk about that because I don't want to ruin anybody's chances. If I get on the podcast and start saying, I think this cardinal, he's going to be the pope, and here's the 10 reasons why, and boom, 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 it just draws too much attention. But so I don't know who it'll be. I have an idea. I have probably three in mind that I think one of those three, it's like a 90% chance that one of those three will be the next pope or be elected next. So that's my thought, but I don't know. We'll find out. You know, it's kind of amazing that the president would declare Easter Sunday to be Awareness Day. Yeah, it's amazing. Andrew Ewell says, should we question our baptism if we were baptized between 1965 and 1990? Things were crazy back then when your folks are not catechized well and can't tell you if the formula was correct. Thoughts? Well, it's the teaching of the church that baptism is presumed valid unless there's reason to believe it was not. So let me just give an example, I think, that the church would rule prudently on. So, Andrew, let's say that you were baptized by Monsignor Bob Smith, and it comes out later that Monsignor Bob Smith had baptized many, many children with the invalid formula. Like, there's testimony to it. And this has happened. There was a deacon in Michigan who had done like hundreds of baptisms invalidly. And the bishop decreed every person who has ever been baptized by this deacon, whether it was valid or invalid, we don't know, needs to come back to the church and receive a conditional baptism, because he has a reputation of invalid baptism. All right. So in that case, Andrew, I think you should be concerned. But unless there is good reason, evidence that it was done invalidly, the presumption is that it was done validly. Otherwise, we would all be sacramentally paranoid all the time. So I think that's the safe answer. I don't think everyone needs to go secretly get conditionally rebaptized or conditionally baptized, because you can't get rebaptized. There's only one baptism. So yeah, and I think maybe, Andrew, just kind of look back at, you know, what was your childhood parish? You know, what was it like? You know, if there was crazy things going on, like if that priest who baptized you was attempting to celebrate Mass with raisin bread and root beer, then I would start to like scratch the surface a little bit. Otherwise, I wouldn't be overly scrupulous about that. John Wick is back. Heads up, John Wick. Under strict instructions not to talk. Instructions by whom? So I think this is about Pope Francis revealing secrets of the conclave. Everyone makes a vow never to reveal secrets of the conclave. And Bergoglio, Francis, Pope Francis is talking openly about what happened. And they're like, well, he's breaking the vow. But then Francis is saying, well, I'm the Pope, so I can do it. Like he, it's almost like he gives himself a dispensation to talk about it. I don't know. You're telling me to go make sense of the Pope Francis Bergoglio situation of the last how many years? As you know, in 2016, I gave up trying to make Francis make sense, right? So there it is. Susie Glaze says, can you please pray a Hail Mary for my brother who's got terminal cancer? Yeah, let's pray a Hail Mary for him and for all who have cancer. I know people have cancer, especially Barbara and Lisa. Let's pray Hail Mary in Latin for them. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et at hora mortis nostre. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right. Let's look at a couple more comments. Thank you very much, Susie. Praying for him. Okay. People are asking about what valid baptism looks like, so I'll just go over it real quick. There must be water. All right, water is water. Not Sprite, not Coca-Cola, not beer, not urine, not anything that's not water. Okay, so you got water. The person, there's two ways to be baptized. Submersion or immersion and aspersion or effusion. So you can pour water, put water on the head, and the water has to move on the skin. Okay? So like, let's just say you're talking about a baby in a ventilator, someone in a ventilator, whatever. There has to be a pouring of water. Like if it hits my hair and just falls off and it doesn't hit my skin, I'm not baptized. Why? Because skin is dead. I mean, sorry. If it hits my hair and falls off, sorry, I'm confusing everyone. Reset. Action. Okay. If the water, let's say you're trying to baptize me and the water went right here on my hair and it just glanced off and went on the ground, I would not be baptized because it hit my hair and not my skin. Hair is dead. Skin is alive. All right. Your hair is dead. Your skin is alive. So the water has to hit the skin on your head and move. As the person says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. To properly, validly, and licitly confer the sacrament, a person is pushed underwater or set back in water with their head underwater. Once when you say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, again, a second time, and of the Holy Spirit. That's valid. Or the proper way to do it, if you're baptizing an infant, or someone who's not in a pool or a lake or a river, is pour water on where it hits the skin. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The church has ruled, although it's supposed to be done either three dunkings or three pours, it is valid with one, but it's proper for it to be done with the three. All right. There is some complication. You know, sometimes people bow over a font and the priest pours water on the back of the head and they got a good lion's mane of hair. Maybe it didn't hit the skin. I mean, that's a problem. People deal with this. You know, look into it. Again, I'm not trying to make people scrupulous, but I'm just telling you what the moral theologians, what the sacramental theologians teach about what is a valid sacrament. The Eastern Orthodox have no problem with this because they are dunking. They're dunking babies. They're dunking adults. You know, they're going, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Water everywhere. So that is what a valid baptism is. And you have to say the right words. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And there has to be water applied to the head. All right. Thomas Aquinas does talk about, you know, what if there's an infant and there's only an arm hanging out of the canal and the baby's dying? He says you can baptize the arm. But I believe later there should be a conditional baptism on the head. Conditional baptism. All right. So it's, I mean, priests are taught this, right? It's nurses used to be taught this, right? Water applied to the head three times in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Or the dunking, the submersion. That's it. If it wasn't done, it's invalid. If it was done, it is valid. You're good to go. All right. Mr. B has a good point here. Don't get baptized in a mullet hairdo. That's right. You got, you know, business up front, party in the back. You got the mullet. And if you do the, where you bend over the baby baptismal font, pour on the mullet, might need to check the VHS tape on that 80s mullet. Got that duck tail. Jenna. Hey, Jenna. I remember I taught Jenna. Jenna, hope you're doing well. Happy Easter. In my 16 years of being Catholic, I never remember this many Catholics coming into the church, especially from atheistic or agnostic background. I agree, Jenna. That's what I'm saying. That's what I started today's show on. There's something going on, and it's awesome. All right, one last comment, one last question. Here's Philip. I watched some young children get baptized Saturday. It was funny and beautiful at the same time. I love seeing children baptized. It's just lovely. Beautiful. Let the little children come to me. All right, today's podcast is brought to you by the new St. Thomas Institute. That's where I teach online courses. I have a whole course module on sacramental theology. We go through the traditional understanding of Thomas Aquinas on baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, penance, extreme unction, holy orders, and holy matrimony. And you can take that course with me and 10 other courses at nsti.com, New St. Thomas Institute. You can sign up for spring enrollment now. Go to nsti.com and take online courses with me. I will be your guide. I will be your professor. And we will have wonderful time in those courses with hundreds and hundreds of other Catholics who are on the same journey with you. And you can earn your certificate in Catholic theology, certificate in Catholic philosophy, apologetics, Old Testament, New Testament. We even have a course there on the Latin Rite, the Roman Rite, Latin Mass. It's all there. So go and sign up as a student at nsti.com. Also, if you want to move to a different part of the country, sell your home, maybe move to where there's a Catholic school, traditional Latin Mass, I recommend and trust realestateforlife.org. They've helped dozens and dozens of people who watch this podcast sell their house where they are and move to a part of the world, a part of the country that shares their values. And realestateforlife.org is waiting to help you. So contact them at realestateforlife.org and let them know you heard about it at the Dr. Taylor Marshall Show. And also, if you want to support my work on this podcast and in my writing, please support me with a monthly Patreon patron gift at patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. There's, I think, four different tiers of support level, and I give merch, signed books, rosaries, all kinds of things. So if you want to support the work I do and get a signed book and be involved at Patreon, go to patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. And you can actively support the work that I'm trying to accomplish. I want to just say in closing, of course, happy Easter, Christ is risen, but also to say that although this is a joyful time of year, if you're discouraged, if you're wondering, do you have a purpose? Do you have a plan? The answer is God has a plan for you. If you are alive, if you are breathing, God has a plan for you. He loves you. He made you particular. He made you special. And there's a reason you're alive. And it has to do with Jesus Christ. And he's going to lead you as a shepherd, you're his sheep, into something important. So don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Keep on going. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless. Godspeed. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Happy Pasch. Pray the rosary every day or you're not on the team.